Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. While different, it is a good Easter message for us to learn this Easter season. Our multi-part Easter series started last week on Easter Sunday. Last week we learned, if the gospel has a purifying tendency, then one is not to presume that the tendency of the doctrine was to produce licentiousness. In other words, to produce a strong form of laziness and uncaring. In modern speak, we are not to presume a free ride into glory. While that is not an untruth, we are asked to work for a reward loosely spoken of in the book of Revelation. Working for that reward is spoken of throughout the New Testament. The more we do not to live in a better way, the less of a reward we will receive when that time comes. For more explanation, read the parable of the man with one talent, frequently titled The Parable of the Talents, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. See what happened to the man with only one talent. It was not good. It demonstrates that even the simple things. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 1, posted on March 30th. This week, our study is titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 2. Our scripture reads, What shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united to the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been freed from sin. From Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. While I read the entire context for continuity, we will start this week in verse 3. For clarity, it reads, Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We need to stop and ask the question, Baptized into his death? What is up with that? Let us see if we can find a reasonable answer to that question in verse 3. Were baptized into his death. We were baptized with special reference to his death. Our baptism had a strong resemblance to his death. By that, he became insensible to the things of the world. By baptism, we in like manner become dead to sin. Further, we are baptized with particular reference to the design of his death, the great leading feature and purpose of his work. That was to expiate to make amends, atone for sin, to free men from its power, to make them pure. We have professed our devotion to the same cause and have solemnly consecrated ourselves to the same design, to put a period to the dominion of iniquity. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. We want to more closely examine what Mr. Barnes said. First, we were baptized with special reference to his, Jesus' death. Our baptism had a strong resemblance to his death. Because we are in the present, it should be better noted, reading that statement in the present. Our baptism has a strong resemblance to the death of Jesus. The word, quote, resemblance, end quote, tells us that we do not physically die. Our death is a spiritual death to the things that are not beneficial to us, despite how good for us they seem. By example, in the forest, there are blueberries that look good and yet are bad for us because they are poisonous. Without proper understanding, we might pick and eat such blueberries instead of the blueberries that really are good for us and very enjoyable. In this analogy, the bad blueberries are the sinful life, and the good blueberries are the life in Christ. Further, by the union of the believer with Christ, represented by the rite of baptism by which it is consummated, he undergoes a change analogous to death and resurrection of Christ. For, as Christ, at the crucifixion, brought one life, that is, his life as mortal man, to a close, and by his resurrection commenced a new life, as it were, that is, his immortality. So the believer closes his life of sin and commences a new spiritual existence. Thus, he becomes dead to sin and alive to God. That this is the meaning appears to be distinctly stated in verse 4. From John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott, Illustrated New Testament, 1878. By that he became insensible to the things of the world. Now, before I go any further, we are not like Jesus or capable of the things he did and does. However, it is the bar that is set before us, so we have something to aspire to. This should be a part of what makes being in this life, living as men and women of Christ, worthwhile. Even when we have given up those things that appeal to us through our sinful being, we have crucified or are trying to crucify ourselves so that the end result is greater perfection in Christ. The death of Christ was a lively representation of the death of sin, and believers are to imitate his death in their dying daily unto sin. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. Notice, by baptism, we in like manner become dead to sin. This is why adult baptism is very important. Baptism, at the very least, symbolizes the death to sin we need to die to. When one is raised up out of the water, it is the same as Christ rising from the grave into new eternal life. While Christ triumphed over sin and its power over mankind, we have our own sense of power and victory over our own sinfulness through Jesus Christ in our baptism. This is one of many good reasons for desiring baptism after we are saved in Christ. The reason being, our salvation in Christ was to expiate sin, to free men from the power, and to make them pure. John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott told us, "We have professed our devotion to the same cause and have solemnly consecrated ourselves to the same design, to put a period to the dominion of iniquity." Just what does it mean to put a period to the dominion of iniquity? The mere suggestion this statement makes is that sin can no longer rule our lives despite the fact we will still sin. Once we are saved in Christ, we no longer sin in greed and desires of things. We sin out of habit or habits that need to be broken. In that, we will find our victory spoken of thus far. Did Christ die for us a painful, shameful, and accursed death? Such a death must sin die in us. Was his death for sin free and voluntary? So must we die to sin. Was his death an universal crucifixion? Did no life, sense, or motion remain with him? Thus, must we imitate the likeness of his death by an universal mortification of every known sin, which occasioned his dying. In a word, did Christ die and rise again, never to die more? So must we die unto sin and walk in newness of life. How shall we that are dead unto sin live any longer therein? Thus it appears the indispensable duty of all Christians to transcribe the copy of Christ's death in their hearts and lives. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. Mr. Burkett made a statement and asked a question we should examine. So must we die unto sin and walk in newness of life? How shall we that are dead unto sin live any longer therein? First, so must we die to sin. This is not a suggestion. Yet, even as sinners, this is also not a demand. It is a flat statement of truth that anyone can observe or not at their own free will either way. The statement continues with, "and walk in newness of life." Simply put, by dying to sin, we naturally walk in newness of life. That being true, the question that was asked already has an answer. The question was, how shall we that are dead unto sin live any longer therein? Meaning, how can we still live a sinful life if we are truly saved in Christ? The answer should be, we cannot live in sin anymore. Verse 4 reads, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. The first thing this verse should tell us is that Christ did all the hard work, and we merely need to symbolically do the same thing with a willing and desirous heart and mind. Baptism is how we do that after choosing Him, Jesus, to be our Lord and Savior. Learn further. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that Christ Himself, being released of His infirmity and weakness, might live in glory with God forever, and we who are His members rise for this purpose, that being made partakers of the very same power, we should begin to lead a new life as though we were already in heaven. From Geneva Bible Translation Notes. Notice this last comment from Geneva Bible Translation Notes. We should begin to lead a new life as though we were already in heaven. That is a very clear comment. We, here on earth, should live as though we are already in heaven. However, many ask, how do you do that? It begins by doing the things we know are right. We do not need to look any further than our own situations. We know much about what is right and what is wrong already. Not everything, but we do know much. What we need to do is build on that foundation by reading our Bible. In so doing, we glean information and knowledge to deepen our walk with Christ, thus making our life in Him better. When you go to school, college, or university, you do it to learn something about what you are pursuing that will make you able to take on a job to support yourself and, at some point, a family. So, learning is nothing new to anyone. Our Bible is our textbook for learning to live our new life in Christ. By reading our textbook, our Bible, we learn how to put the sinful life we are saved from further away from where it is now. We should have an eagerness to do this. Yet, looking at many people who say they are saved in Christ might give you a different idea of how hard you should work at being less of a sinner. Being less of a sinner today is the whole point here. Will we ever be perfect? Not like Christ in this life and corrupt body. Yet, that is where the bar is set and thus is our goal to attain. As He rose to new life, so should we. As He rose from death, so we, being made dead to sin and the world by that religion whose profession is expressed by baptism, should rise to a new life, a life of holiness. We should rise with Christ to a new life, and having been made dead to sin, as He was dead in the grave, so should we rise to a holy life, as He rose from the grave. The argument in this verse is, therefore, drawn from the nature of the Christian profession. By our very baptism, by our very profession, we have become dead to sin, as Christ became dead. and being devoted to Him by that baptism, we are bound to rise as He did to a new life. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. If it has not been an obvious thing, the new life we live in Christ is a life of holiness. To live holy means we need to have an understanding of how we do that. To begin in a very meager way is to know that certain things in our life are of a sinful nature, regardless of how pleasing such things are to us, regardless of how profitable to us they can be. Such is like the poisonous blueberries. For the end of baptism is not only to represent the death and burial, but also the resurrection of Christ from the dead, which is here said to be, quote, by the glory of the Father, end quote. Some read the words, quote, unto the glory of the Father, end quote, meaning either that the Father might be glorified hereby, or that Christ, being raised from the dead, might enjoy glory with the Father, as he does in human nature. But rather, the phrase expresses the means by which, and not the end to which, Christ was raised from the dead, and by the glory of the Father is meant the glorious power of the Father, which was eminently displayed in raising Christ from the dead. And as baptism is designed to represent the resurrection of Christ, which is done by raising the person out of the water, so likewise to represent our resurrection from the death of sin to a life of grace, whence it must be greatly incumbent on baptized believers who are raised from the graves of sin by the power of Christ to, quote, walk in newness of life, end quote. For since they are become new creatures and have new hearts and new spirits given them, new principles of light, life, grace, and holiness implanted in them, and have entered into a new profession of religion. From the New John Gill's Exposition of the Entire Bible. For clarity, we want to learn from this portion of that commentary passage. The means by which, and not the end to which, Christ was raised from the dead, and by the, quote, glory of the Father, end quote, is meant the glorious power of the Father, which was eminently displayed in raising Christ from the dead, and as baptism is designed to represent the resurrection of Christ, which is done by raising the person out of the water, so likewise, to represent our resurrection from the death of sin to a life of grace, where it must be greatly incumbent on baptized believers who are raised from the graves of sin by the power of Christ to walk in newness of life, for since they are become new creatures and have new hearts and new spirits given them, new principles of light, life, grace, and holiness implanted in them, and have entered into a new profession of religion. Let us break this down. First, the means by which, and not the end to which, Christ was raised from the dead, and by the glory of the Father, is meant the glorious power of the Father, which was eminently displayed in raising Christ from the dead. This should tell us just how powerful our Father in heaven really is. Secondly, baptism is designed to represent the resurrection of Christ, which is done by raising the person out of the water, so likewise to represent our resurrection from the death of sin to a life of grace, whence it must be greatly incumbent on baptized believers who are raised from the graves of sin by the power of Christ to, quote, walk in newness of life, end quote. For since they are become new creatures and have new hearts and new spirits given them, our new hearts and spirits give us the tools we need to start our new life in Christ. Our new hearts and spirits also help us do good things instead of doing wrong things of sin because they feel so satisfying. We now get the same or more satisfaction from doing good things. Lastly, we have also been given new principles of light, life, grace, and holiness implanted in us and have entered into a new profession of religion. Next week, our episode is titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 3. We will examine verse 6. In part, it reads, "We know that our old man was crucified with him." What is our old man? To find out more, join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled How to Be Saved at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https colon /, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.